And good morning to you. So good to see you today. Welcome to Sunday service. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And what a joy it is to join with the psalmist when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And some of you are here physically and many of you are watching online, and I just greet the whole church family wherever in the world you are with our church. You never know. People from all over the world, spread all over the world, normally on any given Sunday, online when they run all of the digital things, we find that people are watching from, I don't know, 25, 26 different states and countries, 3, 4, 5 different countries. So wherever you are, I say hello and welcome you today. Welcome our church family here. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's the Lord's Day. We call it the Lord's Day on Sunday because this is the day that He rose from the dead, and we meet together to worship. And I thought that on the Lord's Day, we would be reminded in our opening hymn of that wonderful day in our lives. I hope and pray it's a day that you never forget. That day that you had wandered in darkness for so long, but on that day, you met the Savior. Oh, He was tender and compassionate, the greatest friend you'd ever seen, and He met the need of your heart. And as you believed in Him, heaven came down and glory filled your soul. I love this hymn. It's a hymn of hope that will surely endure. Stand if you would, and let's sing about the great life, that born from the Spirit above life that we have in our hearts.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer with grace it had proffered, He saved me, oh praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now of the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time, I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory fills my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Amen. Good morning. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another beautiful day. Lord, we're just grateful to enjoy your creation each and every day, Lord. Lord, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to hear your word, Lord. Lord, glory fills our soul. Lord, today, someone might be here that says they have no glory in their soul. Well, you took care of that on the cross, Lord. And your Father loved each and every one of us so much that he sent Jesus down to earth to live a sinless life and to go up on the cross for us. He did it for all humanity, not just me, not just Pastor, but everyone in the world. Lord, I just pray today that they receive you as their Savior and that they have a relationship with you throughout the years until they come meet you in heaven. Lord, ask you to be with Pastor and allow him to bring your message that you've given to him in the book of James. I just ask you to settle us. I don't know what everyone did to come here this morning, but if they're uptight or nervous, Lord, just allow us to be settled to hear your word, Lord. Lord, just ask you to continue to be with the first responders and all the people in the hospitals and nurses, Lord. Lord, be with us now as we turn and wave to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and wave.
Just a little different in our order of schedule today. I can never let you come to church and be in a routine. They teach us in Bible college how to do church as unusual. They say every once in a while you got to do church as unusual because we're such creatures of habit and of routine. And so we try not to do that. Welcome today. So good to see you. I trust that you've had a wonderful week and have been excited about what God has been doing in your life. And if you've had a difficult week, it's good to know that we have a fresh start to a new week by beginning that in the house of the Lord. I see some faces. I know you're visiting with us. I see returning visitors that are back. I see some that we haven't seen in a while, and you're here today and in our church family and friends. It's so good to be here. If you're visiting with us, we would love for you to stop by the welcome desk and let us greet you and fill out a card for you and have a record of your attendance today. That means something to us, especially if somebody invited you. We want to know who invited you, how you heard about Plantation Baptist Church, and just kind of celebrate what God is doing. For our church family watching online, we welcome you, and you might be watching through the website or through the app or Facebook or YouTube or I don't know anything else. I think that's all of them. Check in now and check in on our website. And we want to make sure that we know you're there on Facebook. Say hello and let us know. If you're a first-time viewer, and then maybe you would take that opportunity to note that. I'm running into people this week, and Pastor, we're just joining online, and we've begun to watch online, and they're reaching out. And so what a delight that that is. While everybody's doing that, let me make some announcements. We were able to get Ashley and Braden married yesterday, and so thank you for praying for them. And they're on their way to their life, their honeymoon, and to serve the Lord. And so thank you for all that has been going on and for our prayers along those lines. Men, I saw on the screen that a beautiful picture for our breakfast. We're going to go back to our Amen's breakfast. Try it on Saturday, July 25th. I would invite every man in the church. If nothing else, those eggs and bacon ought to get you there. I mean, that makes me hungry just thinking about it right now. And it's a wonderful ministry for what God is doing in the life of our men. You do not have to be a member of our church. Maybe you've been watching online, and this would be a good first step for you. We would love to have you at 9 o'clock there. Of course, we'll take care to make sure of all the protocols to keep that event as safe as possible. Of course, speaking of the protocols, I would just remind you now that as you're watching television and you see how things are increasing, be careful of one another. We've done our best to clean the building. Do your best to kind of keep your hand in your pocket a little bit and regard people and just kind of let everybody move about safely wise. use the hand sanitizers that are in the building there, and so on. And so thank you for being part of the cleaning team, those of you that get the building ready, and especially in between the services as we are trying to do all that we can do. We praise God for the souls that have been saved. I mentioned on Wednesday we've had many of our church, three of our church people for sure, that have been able to win their friends and their brother to the Lord Jesus. And so as people are locked down, the gospel is not locked down. And it's a great time to tell people about the Lord and to share with them the wonderful peace that He is as our great God and our wonderful Savior. I want to speak to you just a little bit after the next hymn about what God is doing in our building program. But I want to use this hymn for God to prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. And I wanted to remind you of the mercy and the grace that was free at Calvary, the pardon that was applied to our lives, that burdened soul that we had, that found liberty because of Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. The hymn begins, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified. Oh, knowing not it was for me that He died on Calvary." Verse number 2 says, "I learned some things from the Word of God, in learning that I trembled at the law that I had spurned, until my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. And turning, oh, I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King, and all my raptured soul can only sing of the love that drew salvation's plan, that grace that brought it down to men, the mighty gulf that God did span." Oh, what a hymn for the child of God as we remember this moment where the love of God is displayed at Calvary's cross. Stand if you would. If you know the Lord, sing with all your heart. God bless you as you lift your voice.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything, now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to men, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Seated, please, if you would, take just a moment, and bought myself some time within the service to talk to the church about our building fund and our building campaign, and I sure would love the attention of those that are watching online if you could make sure to kind of gather around the camera and listen, as we need to communicate from pastor to church, and we need a good full church understanding. Back in 2019, we as a church moved based upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. We moved into a threefold building fund campaign that we were using to fortify our church and fortify the land. We had three things that we wanted to accomplish. Those three things would be the inclusion of a fire sprinkler system inside the building. That would include a 165 paved parking spot and lot onto the west. And then it would include the remodel of this auditorium. And we set out with this desire as the Lord was leading us. And we praise God for His wonderful faithfulness. We took our first building fund offering in December, if you remember, December 15th. That was a tremendous blessing. We received hundreds of thousands of dollars in that first building fund offering. We were going to take a next phase building fund offering on March 15th. But if you remember right, March 15th is when the whole world found out we had COVID-19. And everything kind of changed and slowed and differed. As I stand here today, as we began and embark on the $1.5 million that we needed, the way that we kind of presented that or broke that down in our thinking was I put a display out in the lobby, and I took the 165 parking spots that were out there, and I took $1.5 million and I divided it by 165, and that comes to $9,100. So when you go out into the lobby and you look at the lighted display, you should see 65 lights that have been lit out of the 165. That 65 lights that have been lit represent almost $600,000. It's okay to say amen for that, okay? So from December 15th until the end of June, we have received in our building fund almost $600,000. When you think about all that we have been through as a people, as a nation, and as a church, and where we are, I would say that is only because of the faithfulness of our God. And I'm proud of our church family, because if you were to look at the church financial books, you would see that, and we used to put this in the bulletin all the time, that our general budget and our missions budgets are running just fine for offerings, which means that God's people did not do the proverbial rob Peter to pay Paul, right? Please don't do that. And so people are bringing the Lord's tithe. They're bringing their faith promise missions, as we're still faithful in our missions. And on top of that, we have seen $600,000 come in. It's time now for me to come and present to you that we do need to take an immediate step to raise money. What is going to happen is we have enough money that God has provided, and they're almost done with the fire sprinkler system, which was $200,000, and the other $400,000+ that we have, we have money for the finishing of the dirt work and the pipe work. And you see on the screen, it's kind of a split screen, so it's not easy to see. There's another screen with other pipes. There you see the pipes coming. These are all the drainage pipes that are running through there. Pastor, all I see out there is dirt. You sound like my wife, okay? But no, what you're seeing there are big concrete pipes. Is we got to put all this under there so we can drain the parking lot. God forbid that our parking lot turn into the Sawgrass Mills parking lot when it comes to drainage, or that stupid Publix over there on Flamingo Road, right, where you literally got to wade through water to get there. So all of this work is being done, and what will happen is they will finish the pipe, which will come around the back of the auditorium, and they will put the dirt down, and they'll harden the dirt, and they'll get it ready and grade it. Once they've graded that dirt, we got to get concrete on that dirt very quickly. Otherwise, the rainy season will wash away the work that we have done. It'll wash the dirt in the drains, and we'll have to go backwards a little bit. Right now, we do not have the money to take that immediate step. I'm talking to the church family online. I'm talking to our church family here. So we need to have that money raised and received so we can buy the concrete. And then prior to buying the concrete, we have to put in, we're putting in the electrical lights, so they got to run the electrical wire. We're putting in the sprinklers out there for the for all of the landscaping. The plans in the city required us to put in over 100 trees into this parking lot. Now, I was just going to put one in over my spot so it was shady, but the city has kind of had it done that way. So there's a lot of landscaping from hedges that go across the west, hedges that come across the south, and so on. So there's some prep work we have to do there, and we have to purchase that concrete. So I think that our next step is going to be around $125,000, $150,000. And the way that I've been leading to raise this money is the same way that you eat an elephant. Does anybody know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So that's what we've been doing. $1.5 million, a lot of money, but one bite at a time. Now, some of you got bigger mouths than others. Okay? What do you mean by that? You got bigger wallets than others, right? So all of us are taking our bite, but it may be different around approach. So my brain works this way. If we need to raise 100 grand, well, that's 100 people given 1,000, or that's 200 people given $500, or 300 people given $300. That's just how I break it down into a piece there. But we need to raise this money by the end of July or the first week of August. Pretty quick, because once this work gets finished out here, things are going to roll. Once we get the concrete down on the ground, if we have to navigate from there, we can navigate from there. So I'm asking you, I'm asking everybody, what can you do? Can you give $1,000? Wonderful. Can you give $500? Wonderful. Can you give $300? Everybody can give something. And I don't know where everybody is, but we can pray and do that. Pastor, can we piece it out? Sure. If you need to do that, well, we can give it. We have until the end of July. Pastor, man, I've already given $1,000. So have I. Pastor, you asked last time, and I gave another $1,000. So have I. And I can keep going with you. And we've all given. But you know what I've wondered, what I've learned is, you never outgive God. And so you give, and God just kind of replaces it. You give, and God just kind of replaces it. If God doesn't replace mine, I steal it from Beverly, and God provides. And it just works that way, right? Okay, we need everybody. I need you online. I need you here. We have to. We can't stop this step. And so I'm asking you to pray, and I'm asking you to give, and so we can get that taken care of. We've passed all of our permits so far. They're almost done with the fire sprinkler. You see the trench that has been dug in there. If you were to go in the fellowship hall, you can see where it's coming in the building. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to a man. Ladies, you may not see much beauty in that. I stand out there and I look at all that and I say it's beautiful. And Barry was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking at that beautiful dirt. She says, you're crazy. But that's just a man, right? We like to see that kind of stuff. So you can look over there. I think actually there's water in the sprinklers ahead of us right now. And so if yours starts dripping in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then I guess how that'll be. So we're moving forward. I needed to share my heart with you because I didn't want that to stop in that process. We need to go forward. So I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to get involved. I'm asking you to do something fresh and new. And let's do this thing together so we can continue to move forward. If you have any questions about it, you can see me, you can see Joey, you can see a deacon, see anybody there. But this is something that I think God is going to meet our need here. Again, I'm proud of you for your biblical understanding. You have not taken the Lord's tithe to give to the building fund. Do not do that. Do not take your faith promise to give to the building fund. Do not do that. Ask God for something different upon that. That's biblical wisdom for that. So, amen. We understand where we are. And so let's pray. If 100 of you give 1,000 and 200 give 500 and we get 200 grand, well, we need 1.5 minus 6. We need 900 to finish it all. But right now we're just counting on what we got here. One step at a time. And God will be faithful in those steps. All right. Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father God, it's exciting to have vision. It's necessary to have vision. The Bible says without it, people perish. You've given a vision to Plantation Baptist Church to be salt and light in our community, to be a witness to our community, to stand for righteousness. And Lord, hidden way back where we are in this neighborhood, you've allowed countless numbers of people to find us with the Christmas lights and all of the ministry. And there's some things we needed to do to fortify the land. And you laid this on my heart. And Lord, I appreciate that. And I present it to the people and they have found it on their heart as well. And so in unity, we're together. It takes sacrifice. Lord, I'm the leader. I'm the pastor. If I don't sacrifice, the people won't sacrifice. There's no way. Has to start with the leader. And so I ask you to give me a spirit of sacrifice and God do in me and through me what you would have done in my life, my wife's life, my family's life, so that I can faithfully lead the people. And God, we're following you. Just one step at a time, $1 at a time, one penny at a time. And little is much when God is in it. And so thank you for that. Lord, you gave us a great 8:30 service. I'm asking you again to help me preach with tenderness, compassion, power, and authority, and speak to our hearts. Lord, we have come today to worship, and the men are getting ready to reinforce that by singing, "Here I Am to Worship." I pray that our hearts would be touched now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give. I got a wonderful opportunity to listen to the men in the first service. You're going to enjoy this song. Just think about you before the Lord as they do it. God bless you, men.
Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow now. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came, earth you created, all for love's sake became born. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow. I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon. On that cross, I'll never know. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're my God. And here I am to worship.
Thank you, gentlemen. Powerful and wonderful. I was just sitting here thinking about being before the Lord and what that must be like, what that will be like when it's not anymore by faith that we do that, but in reality, in His presence. And man, I trust that you've come today to worship. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and make your way to the fourth chapter of the book of James. James chapter 4 will be our text this morning. I was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to this passage. God brought me to this passage in the course of studying something different. And when God brought me to the passage, He said, I would like you to preach this on this Sunday morning. And so I've come to you today to preach from this passage, to preach a message that I know that God has laid on my heart for the moment and for the hour. And I trust a message that God will cement to your heart, not just as an individual, but to our church corporately. And I would submit that this message is not just for Plantation Baptist Church today, but this is for the church of Jesus Christ upon the earth, that we know the truth of this passage. Would you pick up in verse number 1 of James chapter number 4? From whence come wars and fightings? Where, class, the next two words?
Among you.
Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because you ask not. Oh, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Does that mean that God doesn't want you to have relationships? No, He's talking about the system that's absent of God and righteousness. He's not talking about people there. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, and He takes this back to Proverbs, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Praise His holy name. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. What's the next word, class? Just so I can tell, how many brethren do we have in a room? Would you say amen? Amen. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? I think we'll stop right there. I think the title of my message today is in alignment with the heart of James in writing the fourth chapter. Now I want to preach to you today a message entitled, Stop Fighting, Satan is Winning. Stop fighting, Satan is winning. I hate to even put the words Satan and winning together. We know him to be who he is, Satan. We know him to hate our God. We know him to be the father of all lies and of murder and of deceit. We know him to be filled with pride. We know his ravish upon the earth. We know his own sinfulness within our own sinfulness. We understand the damage that he has done. We know he is the enemy of God. Because he is the enemy of God, he is the enemy of the church. Praise the Lord, we know that he is a defeated foe because of the resurrected Lord Jesus. We know that the end of his existence will be in the lake of fire. We know that there will come a day when he will be thrown into that bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We know that after a little while, after that he'll be loosed for a little while. And then we know that he will be tossed with death and hell into the lake of fire. And he will be eternally banished in torment for his rebellion. The sad fact is that there will be many peoples of the earth that will join him. Going to hell is one thing. Going to hell and being there with Satan is a totally different thing. You do not want to be eternally in a place where Satan dwells when you can be in heaven where God dwells. Pastor, if he is a defeated foe and you know the end of his existence, why would you say that he is winning? Because in every war you have unique battles. When you study the wars of our world, you will find there are battles that are remembered. Gettysburg, the Battle of the Bulge, Alamo, the Normandy Beach. You have other ones that stick out in moments of war. And I would think that as James is writing here, he sees in his time that Satan is winning in his battle against the church. And winning in his battle against the church is not to defeat the church, but to distract the church, to discourage the church. I do believe as you begin in the Bible and you trace history throughout the church age, you will find that one of Satan's greatest strategies is to get the church to fight amongst itself instead of warring against our enemy. Church family, church all around the world, my brother And my sister is not my enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and dominion and rulers of darkness in this present evil world. The church has an enemy. He is the enemy of God. His name is Satan. It's interesting when you read James. James is the brother, half-brother of Jesus. James was not an early believer in the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, most Bible scholars believe that James may have come to faith in Christ after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But we know that James was probably the earliest book of the New Testament written. When you read the book of James, Bible scholars will put the writing of that book around AD 45, 46, 48. When I say AD, the number one date that comes to people's mind most of the time is AD 33. And most of the time we believe that because that's kind of the foundational date, whether it's exact or not, when the Lord Jesus was crucified. You know that he was crucified and he was buried and he was in the grave how long? 3 days. We know that after his resurrection he walked on the earth how many days? 40 days. We know that as his ascension, as he ascended to the Father, that the disciples were meeting in just a few days, and that event called Pentecost happened, where the Spirit of God came and dwelt those apostles and dwelt those disciples, and the church was birthed. AD 33 to AD 45, not a lot of years, not a lot of time. And yet, when you read the earliest book written, James asked this question. Why are you fighting? When you read who the book of James was written to, it begins in chapter 1, verse 1, you find that it was written to the scattered tribes of Israel, but they were believers. The church, as far as the Pauline epistles and all of the way that Paul, as the apostle to the church, organizes it, some of that is missing. So you know it's a transitional time as James is writing. But just a few short years after they moved out of Pentecost with one heart, one mind, in unity, James says, why are you warring? Why are you fighting? The word war is the actual word for literal war. The word fighting is the word for strife. And so James, after he finishes talking about peace at the end of the third chapter, that wisdom that is full of from above and that is fruit of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace, chapter 4 opens up with war and with fighting that is going on inside the house of God. When you read the book of James, you will find that he deals with many unruly situations in the house of God. Much like Paul had to deal with. When you read the epistles of Paul, you find him constantly encouraging the church to one heart, one mind, unity, thinking not more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, forgiveness, loving one another, ministering to one another. These were two men that all the way back at the very beginning stages of the church had to encourage peace and unity. You will find that not only is this just because of the hearts of men, but I do believe that there was a satanic movement back then, as there is today. I hope you understand that Satan never gives up. I learned a wonderful truth about that when I was reading the temptation of the Lord Jesus when he was brought into the wilderness in the Gospel of Luke, I think the 4th chapter, maybe the 11th verse. The Bible says that after the Lord Jesus was tempted 3 times, and of course he responded to Satan those 3 times with the Word of God, very carefully the Bible says, and Satan left him for a season. Sometimes in our Bible understanding we think what Jesus just had to deal with a moment of temptation. No, he was like you. He had to deal with a life of temptation. By the way, I love that because in his dealing with that, he can help me in the temptations that Satan brings to me daily in my life. James is putting to the church almost 2,000 years ago a question that I think could be put to the church today. And not our church specifically, although we're included, but to the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. Why are we fighting and warring amongst ourselves? I would submit to you that Satan is implementing a strategy. James outlines three ways that Satan works in the life of a believer to create fighting and war with inside the church. Write these down if you would. We will address them one by one. All of them begin with L. The first one will be lust. You read it there. The word lust here means pleasure. Carries the idea of gratifying one's natural and sinful desire. Logic. He deals with their logic. Lastly, he will deal with their loyalty. These three areas are the areas in which he sees that Satan is using to bring about war inside of the church. Lust. Very vivid description. Verse number one. The question is, where does war and fighting come from? It comes from within us. It comes from within our lust that wars in our members. He talks about the depth of this lust. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. I don't believe that this is actual act of physical murder on the outside with our hands, but it's what lust does within us. And James is talking about this pleasure of our one's nature, our sinful desires. When you read the book of James, you find that James deals with a lot of things that might be surprising to people when they think about the church of Jesus Christ. He deals with moral depravity, open warfare, lust for pleasure, murder, covetousness, adultery, envy, pride, and slander. Pastor, are these things that really and truthfully can be part of a church? Let's be real clear about what we understand. Churches are made up of sinners saved by grace. Okay. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God moved into me just like He did you. The nature of God moved into me and made me new. But I still have that old nature inside of me. I still have that old man. And the older I get and the closer to God I get, the more ugly my old man becomes to me. James is saying here that there is a working or an allurement of the lust that works inside of the individual believer that Satan can use to create warfare inside the church. The lust and covetous desire of some of the professing Christians back then were turning the local church into a battleground. Satan was winning. The strategy to get God's people to fight amongst themselves instead of resisting Him is effective. I would submit to you that he has not changed his strategy. I would submit to you that he's still working in the distraction of God's people. Your carnal lust, my carnal lust, my covetous desire, your covetous desires are often all that is needed to stir up strife inside the house of God. Passion. So wonderful if used properly, so dangerous when used at the motivation of my lust. Human passion keeps the church in horrific turmoil. James said, you fight and you war. Sometimes, even churches that are contending for the truth can develop an acrimonious spirit. Hot and carnal passion can take over our lives, fueled by our lust. When this happens, the cause of Christ is hindered. I want us to say something to my church family. I know you agree with me about this. I don't want anything in my life to ever hinder the cause of Christ. Flesh has a chameleon likeness to it. Sometimes it can be established in worldliness. Sometimes it can be established in religiousness. But human flesh can exhibit itself not just outside in our neighborhoods, but can exhibit itself inside the church. When I am offended, the first thing I have to deal with is my flesh. I had an incident happen to me on Friday that proved this to me again. Jimmy Weatherford, do you know Jimmy Weatherford? Lila's son. Jimmy called me with his new cell phone. He's so proud of that new cell phone. He's called everybody in the world. He said, let's go eat lunch. Amen, Jimmy. Let's go eat lunch. Where do you want to go? He said, I want to go to Five Guys. Amen, Jimmy. Let's go to Five Guys. Picked Jimmy up. We went over to 17th Street, went into the promenade there on to the south, and went into that Five Guys. I said, Jimmy, put your mask on. We got to go inside. He said, yeah. So we both put our mask on. We walk inside. We walk to the counter. We ordered. That's none of your business what we ordered, but it was all the way. I said, ma'am, are we allowed to eat inside of the cafeteria here? She said, yeah, you're allowed to eat. We're allowed to have 10 people. I said, ma'am, am I allowed to remove our mask when we sit down? And are we allowed to do that? She said, yes, sir, you are. Come on, Jimmy. So we go to the Coke machine. We get our Cokes and we sit down. We pull our mask off and we begin to eat our food. Man walks in. I noticed when the man walked in that he made eye contact with me. And I didn't think too much about it. And not long after he ordered, he walked over to my table and he looked at me and he said, so you think you're better than everybody else? I said, excuse me? He said, so you think you're better than everybody else? I said, I don't know what you mean, sir. I was not that nice under my breath. He said, you don't have your mask on. I said, sir, you ever tried to wear a mask and drink a Coke at the same time? Boy, my old flesh riled up. When I'm offended, the old flesh riles up, doesn't it? The whole world is offended right now. The whole world is offended right now. And the flesh of humanity is passionate. And it is burning and it is expressive. And God's people are not immune to that. James, all the way back, said it is that unleashed flesh that has not been restrained under the Spirit of God. When my flesh rises up, I've got to do two things. I've got to stop it and I've got to settle it. And the only way I can stop it and the only way I can settle it is turn it over to the Holy Spirit's power and empty myself of that. Otherwise, when a man's flesh is inflamed, he rages. When a man's flesh is inflamed, he polarizes. When a man's flesh is inflamed, he begins to move in a direction that is war-like. This was happening in that early church. Here's the problem. If I don't mortify my flesh, then I allow my flesh and my lust to become my logic. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because you what? You ask not. When you ask God for something, you're doing what? You're praying. When my lust is unchecked, my logic is exposed. James says the reason for our discord and the reason for our division in this time with the people of God was traced back to their prayer. And James points two things about their problem here. He points a failure to pray personally, and he points out a failure to pray properly. When my lust or my flesh is driving Tom Hunter, I have no desire to pray. The reason I don't have any desire to pray is because I must be right in what I am doing. And any time that I judge my rightness as opposed to the Word of God judging my rightness, I'm probably judging wrong. So if my lust, if I allow it to become my logic, why would I ever ask God anything? And if I allow my lust to become the motive, then when I pray amiss. That word amiss is the word depraved. And I'm praying, I not only pray personally, I don't pray properly. Nobody but a believer is going to understand this next statement, but don't ever forget it. Prayer for the believer is the most powerful and effective act of protest of earthly wrong. Prayer for the believer is the most powerful act of protest for earthly wrong. We will not see change the way we ought to marching in the streets, but we will see change with God's people on their knees at the throne of grace. We're asking the world to make change. We can go to the throne of grace and see God provide His change. Does that mean we don't ever speak up? You understand, we do. Does that mean that we don't have the right to do that as believers? Of course you do. But you do not have the right to elevate anything above prayer. Prayer is the most powerful act of protest for earthly wrong. Why can you say that, Pastor? Because Jesus said, when you pray, Father, thy will in heaven be done. So you and I, church, we don't have the wisdom apart from the Word of God or the Spirit of God to know how the earth ought to operate. Well, there is no way that Mr. Trump can. God has to have Mr. Trump as the next president or we're going down. Maybe God wants us to go down. We think we know. And we beg God for mercy and we beg God for truth and we beg God for that thing. But ultimately, if we're driven in our passion and our lust and we allow that to become our logic, then we stop praying. And it's when we get on our knees and go to the throne of grace and pray, thy will be done. Then we'll know peace amongst ourselves. God help us. James said, your loyalties are important. He goes in verse number 4 and he talks about how that worldliness had crept in. If my lust is driving my logic, then my logic will be worldly. I don't believe that they're involved in the actual practice of physical adultery or adulterousness. This is a spiritual thing here. Physical adultery is bad enough, but spiritual adultery is immeasurably worse. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you were married to Him. He is our husband. He is our groom, the bridegroom. We are His bride. And James says, now back then, the problem is that we had so much worldliness going on inside of the believer that it was causing warfare. It was causing fighting within. Worldliness ought not to be in the life of the believer. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't ever want to be in a position of enmity toward God in my loyalties to the world. I want to be loyal to the Lord. I would say that I think we would be shocked how much worldliness has got inside the Church of Jesus Christ. How is it getting in there? The movies we watch, the books we read, the music we listen to, the sites we visit, the theology we believe, the lack of the Word of God, the lacking of the fullness of the Spirit of God. Worldliness is creeping in. And the god of this world is who? Satan. And when he creeps in, there will be war. And there will be fighting. James says we got a corporate problem all the way back in AD 45. We're fighting each other. We're not standing against the enemy. The enemy is using our unbridled lust, our unmortified lust, our lack of prayer and our logic to think that we know, and our loyalties to the world. He's giving us a problem. Look at his answer to it. Verse number 7. The very first word to verse number 7 is what, class? Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Yield, bend, humble, give, suffer. All of that is dealing with submission. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who, class? God. Now, believer, hear the pastor. Hear the word of God. When God saved you, he purchased you. You belong to him. When God saved you and purchased you and indwelt you and you belong to him, you become bound to him in eternally love strong cord. Which means that there is the demand for submission to God and the demand of submission to God's word. And Jesus has the right to demand us to submit to him because he did the greatest act of submission to the death of the cross. God's people are bound to obey the Word of God. The Word of God is our platform. The Word of God is our political party. The Word of God is our movement. The Word of God is our cause. The Word of God is the very food that we take. It is the very direction that we walk. It is everything about our lives. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we are bound to the Word of God. No movement gets our allegiance. The Bible does. No cause gets our attention like the Bible does. And everything that we filter in our lives, we filter according to the Word of God. If we filter it as the people of God or the church of God in any other way, we're going to war and fight because we're different. But when we filter it on the Word of God, submitting ourselves to the Word of God, our lust being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, our logic being controlled by the throne of grace and prayer, our loyalties to the Lord there, then we submit ourselves to God. Look at the next thing he says. Resist the devil. Not flee from him, not run from him, attack him. James says the devil is causing our problem here. He's working in and through our lust, our logic, and our loyalties. He must be resisted. I cannot resist him in my own strength, but I can resist him through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Class, that Bible doesn't tell me to resist my brother or my sister. That Bible tells me to resist the devil. That Bible tells me to love my brother and my sister. I should get an amen for that. That was a good one. A better amen than that. A better amen than that. Amen. And you should be hitting the thumb button on the Facebook. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. I am afraid in the church of God there's become distance between God and God's people. I don't mean relationally, he lives within us, but I mean in fellowship. The old preacher used to tell that old story, it's so funny. Husband and wife are driving down the highway. After a while, the wife spoke up. She said, "Henry, I was just thinking, you remember the time when we were dating?" Henry said, "I do." She said, "You remember how we used to ride?" Henry said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Man, we used to sit so close, put your arm around me, hold my hand. You remember that, Henry?" "I do, I do." She said, "Why don't we do that anymore?" He said, "I don't know, you tell me, you moved." I wonder if distance has grown between God and his church. I think the reason that we're fighting each other across the world in the house of God is because we've let distance grow between the people of God and their God. We don't read. We don't weep. We don't pray. We don't submit. We're getting away. The great promise is, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands and your hearts. Oh, the wonderful cleansing of the blood of Jesus for our sin. We need a soberness. My message today is to be preached to bring a soberness. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Those are strong words, man. We've been laughing. We've been dancing. And the distance is growing greater to our God. Now, when the world needs the church like it's never needed it before, what type of church is there for the world? And by the way, if all we have to offer is humanitarian services, we've lost our ability to help. The greatest one we can offer is Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. Humble yourself. And God will lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. Oh, man. Boy, those people are for that. Those people stand for that. Those people are doing that. Those people are out of their mind. Those people are conspiracy theory. Those people are lunatics. Those people are this. Look me in my four eyeballs. By the way, I got new glasses. Do I look good? Thank you. They're Prada. Those people are your brethren. There's no such thing as races. He's from the Philippines, Jamaica, Haiti. Cut us, we bleed red. Who gave us that? God. There's no such thing as those people in the house of God. You cut us, we bleed the Holy Spirit of God. We got to stop fighting each other. Satan's winning. If ever there was a time for my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Pastor, our land is going to hell in a handbasket. What are you doing about it? I'm marching. I'm posting. I'm voting. Wonderful. Good. What about praying? What about being right with God? What about God's people corporately going to the throne of grace and finding mercy to help our land? Our land doesn't need new governmental leadership. They're all the same. Our land needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take it to them. In unity, one heart, one mind. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, thirteen years after the church was founded, James drops that question. Where did the war and the fighting come from, fellas? It came from within. It came from our lust, unbridled, unmortified, passion, polarizing. They didn't check that lust with the Holy Spirit of God, so it became their logic. God's people stopped praying. If we stop praying, then we're admitting that we don't need you. We're admitting we know how the world should be run. It should be done our way. When our lust becomes our logic, then our logic is vulnerable to our loyalties. God's people become worldly. Can't have that inside the church of Christ. So James said, we got to resist the enemy here. Not each other. We're brethren. We got to submit ourselves to the Lord. We got to draw nigh to Him. We got to cleanse our hearts and our hands. We got to be sobered to this. We got to be humbled. And God will lift us up. That's the promise. And we need lifted up today. Don't speak evil about your brother. You're not his judge. There's one that judgeth. And the judge of the earth will do right. We know that. Oh God, not just our church, but all the churches. May we stop fighting. Satan's winning. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, two questions come to mind. Number one, if you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Are you saved? Have you received the grace of God for salvation? Have you come to the Lord believing upon Him, acknowledging you as a sinner, needing a Savior, trusting Him with your whole heart? If you've never been made new in Christ, you would love to do that. You could do that where you sit. You could say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Or you can come forward and let us take a Bible and show you how. Christian, is there a distance between you and the Lord today? Is your passion checked by the Holy Spirit of God? Don't let your lust become your logic. And don't let that logic let worldliness into our lives. We're bound to the Word of God. We're bound to the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't mean that we keep quiet or we can't do things. It just means that we do them in the right spirit and on the Word of God after we've been to the throne of grace. But we must realize we are not the enemy. The church has an enemy. By the way, if you're here and you're not saved, the enemy of your soul is Satan. He would love to destroy that. I sense the presence of the Lord. I hope you sense the presence of the Lord where you're watching. We'll have our invitation. The altar will be open. Maybe God's people need to come and do business with the Lord. Maybe you want to come and pray today for the will of God upon the earth. Maybe you want to come today and be saved. Whatever the case may be, we'll be here waiting for you. Stand if you would, please. Heavenly Father, have your way now. We love you and we thank you. Lord, move. May we forever be different. May we forever have understanding. I pray if there be anybody here that's not a Christian, that day would come. Let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church family, lift your voice. Men of God, be in the aisle, ready to receive people.
Oh, to Jesus I
Thank you so much for your heart, your attention, your prayer, your spirit, your love, and it's so good to see you. We're going to leave now. I'm going to go to the back and greet you after you sing a chorus. I'm leaving today to go on vacation. Matter of fact, I will run home, throw these clothes off, throw other clothes on, hope my kids get in the car, and we're gone. Why do you say that? Don't touch me. I don't want the virus from you. I'm virus free and I want to go on vacation. Okay. I'm just kidding about that. Pray for our family. We'll be traveling. We'll miss the next two Sundays and we'll be back home. And we need your love and your prayers. I'm going up to my porch in northern Michigan. You've heard me talk about that, right? And so, and I'll see you when I get home. Part of the family of God, lift your voice. God bless you. Love you much.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. God bless you all. You are dismissed.